Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Oh, good Sunday morning to you. It's Gary Wellings here on The Drift. Thank you for joining me. Wham! Talk 1600. Our call-in line, 734-822-1600. We have a special guest this morning in the studio with us, County Commissioner for District 2, Dan Smith.
Good morning, Gary.
Glad to have you here, Dan.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
We'll talk a little bit about some county business today. A lot of people don't seem to pay attention to it. We used to say the armpit of politics was at the township level, and people now come up to the county level. And do you get a lot of people showing up at county meetings?
There's about a steady dozen or so that are there. Several of them are county employees, a few members of the public. It depends on what's on the agenda. We've had a couple of packed meetings recently because of a few agenda items that we can talk about a little bit later. But we call it the invisible arm of government.
Really? And it is, because people just don't go. Most people don't want to drive all the way to the county seat just to go to a meeting.
And a lot of people aren't familiar with what the county does, the invisible services that the county provides.
Right.
And there are a large number of services, but they're mostly there behind the scenes just functioning, and people really don't really see what's going on.
Right. And now you started out at the township level. You ran for township trustee in Northfield Township. In 2008, correct?
Yes, that's when I got elected on the Board of Trustees in Northfield.
And you and I have known each other for a decade now, maybe?
Over a decade,
yeah,
I think.
Over a decade.
Or late 90s.
Yeah. And we both got involved actively in politics, because I think for the same reason. We were worried that government was not being accountable and that they weren't taking care of business at the time. So you ended up running for trustee. I ran. I failed. You won. And you spent 2 years there until you had the calling to jump the vacating county commissioner seat for a second district.
Right. The county commission seats are every 2 years, so it was an election in 2010 as well.
Right. So tough. I knocked on doors with you in that 2008 election, or 10 election, sorry.
Right.
And as brutal as it was, we got through it. So we find that politics can be ugly, but it can also be worthwhile, and we enjoy being able to serve the public.
Yeah, I really enjoy getting to know the people in the second district. I've spent a decent chunk of the summer, like I did last summer, walking around, talking to people door-to-door, face-to-face, and explaining to them what their county government does, what their 4.5 mils of tax dollars pays for, and hearing their concerns, hearing their questions, and I really enjoy that.
Right. And I notice, as we're speaking, that we're being joined by another special guest. We've got Congressman Tim Walberg on line one. Let's go with Tim. Can you hear me?
Gary, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm doing just fine, and appreciate the shout out to me last night to give a call, and so thanks for the opportunity.
Great. Well, I did want to talk to you because I know we just didn't get the votes we needed to do the balanced budget amendment, which I thought was exceedingly important. I'm just devastated, frankly.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of a blue weekend because of that. You know, there was somewhat a sense of certainty that we probably wouldn't pass it when we found out that two people who had voted for it 15 years ago, the exact same bill, and that's why we put it up as exactly the same it was back in 1995 when it was put up for a vote and failed to pass by simply one vote in the U.S. Senate, passed in the House, and Speaker Pelosi, or former Speaker Pelosi, I like to be able to say that. Former Speaker Pelosi and Steny Hoyer, second in command there on the Democrat side of the aisle, this time sent out letters to all of their conference saying we desire for you to vote against the balanced budget amendment. A few of their members broke ranks. I think there were 25 Blue Dog Democrats that broke ranks and voted with the Republicans, but it still ended up short. We needed 289 votes. That's a two-thirds majority required for a constitutional amendment, and we had 261. So I don't know, Gary, where we go from there, whether or not leadership will determine that it's worth another shot at it before the December deadline that was put into the debt ceiling hike increase bill when the cut and cap and balance provisions were put in that bill, which required a vote in both houses on the balanced budget amendment. But it remains to be seen whether the people in the districts of those members that voted against it will be hot and bothered enough to give them calls and emails, and I would encourage that to take place, to say, hey, call for a second vote and pass it this time. We the people want a balanced budget requirement like 49 states have, including Michigan, that at least keeps their government from excessively spending beyond their budget, or at least finding creative ways to hide that, but never getting out of whack like we have in the U.S. government now, to the tune of $15 trillion.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I was shocked just because on the floor of the House there, how do they feel that they can continue to spend this kind of money? I mean, I looked at the super committee. They're talking about making a $1.2 trillion cut over a 10-year period. I mean, we're over budget by $1.2 trillion a year. What are they thinking?
In the last 3 years, we've been over $1 trillion in deficit spending in each of the budget years. And this is when the president has indicated that it would be an austerity time and we would not deficit spend. And yet he's called for that, supported it, and pushed back against any efforts, including the efforts now in the super committee. The president has shown no leadership except the wrong direction, has sent not one of his cabinet members. He hasn't come to the committee and said to his Democrats, specifically Harry Reid, hey, let's get something worked on. Let's work on a compromise. Let's get it done. The Republicans have put up a compromise. You may have read about Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania. Senator Toomey, one of the most conservative senators in Congress, brought out a clear compromise that was a way forward to get beyond the $1.2 trillion in cuts. And it was summarily rejected by the Democrats, and they've offered no other alternative yet in the whole process. So that just shows, Gary, why I think we need a constitutional amendment that requires a balanced budget that said this is the revenue, tax revenue that you're taking in. That's the level of spending maximum that you can go to. You exceed it by one penny, you're out of whack, and you violate the Constitution. So I'm asking for people. I had two town hall meetings yesterday in the district, and I'm asking them to call their friends and family members around the nation and say, call your member of Congress, call your U.S. Senator, and demand of them that they support a balanced budget amendment. It was a very simple amendment. It didn't have a lot of restrictions in it. It was straight cut. It was what had almost passed except for one vote 15 years ago. So that would be a great help to get that out to your listeners and them to get it out to their friends. I don't mind them calling my office or emailing me and encouraging me to support it. They know I will, again, as I did this time. But make sure you don't let down on your friends and family members in other parts of the nation or other parts of our state to encourage their members of Congress and the U.S. Senate to support this as well.
Right. And for our listeners, you can go to GaryWellings.com, and I have a full list of all the contact emails and phone numbers for our state and federal legislators. And
that's
I would encourage
help.
all of our listeners to go do that, and all of our readers at The Current. I try to do it all the time. You do have to be active, and I know you do take phone calls, so you are. I'm so proud that you are our congressman because you always respond, or one of your staff always responds to me when I send an email or a phone call. So that's the way it's supposed to work, and I'm glad you do that.
Well, we're glad to do it. We're a privilege to represent this district, and especially at this time. When you stop and think about it, Gary, we, not unlike the Minutemen of 1776 Revolution and the leadership in that effort, were there to try to restore liberty, freedom, and opportunity to a young country. They did so with muskets, with swords, with knives, with bayonets, and extreme duress. And they took on the strongest fighting force, the most powerful nation in the world at that day, and they won. We don't have to do it with guns and muskets and knives and bayonets. We can do it with laws. We can do it with legislative process. But it has to involve the people making sure that their members' feet are to the fire, and they understand that they are to represent the Constitution in the capacity of defending the rights and freedoms and opportunities of the individuals of this great country. And so it can be done again, and we are part and parcel of that process together. And what an exciting thing that we can talk to our grandkids and great-grandkids about, that we had the opportunity and we didn't fail in returning in turning this great country around again and making it a land of promise, opportunity, and the place where the American dream is still alive.
Yeah, and we appreciate that you do what you do. The pen and the microphone also is mightier than a sword, without a doubt. And we do our best down here at WHAM and at The Current to keep our people informed. And you contribute to us every month with a column letting people know what you're doing in Washington. And we appreciate that every month, too.
And we thank you for the opportunity to do that, because, frankly, you're absolutely right. If you stop and think of Ben Franklin and others who were innovators in publishing and newspaper and reporting and all of that, it's always had a place. When you get people talking and communicating verbally and reading and coming to understanding of what's really happening, then change can take place. And sadly, right now, a lot of our media really is lacking in telling the full story that's out there, let alone in certain cases what's actually true. So we appreciate the opportunity to take advantage of sources that, at the very, very least, give fair balance reporting.
Right. Well, we're going to go into a break, Tim. Do you have the time to stay with us for another segment?
I got to head on out right now, but I look forward to being back with you.
Well, anytime, Tim. Love having you, and we will talk to you again another time. Thanks so much.
Have a great day.
You too.
Now's a great time to get a 2012 Traverse from your Metro Detroit Chevy dealers. With 8 passenger seating, class-leading cargo space, and a 5-star safety rating, Traverse fits your life in the D and everything that comes with it.
This is your hometown, from the west side to east side, with your Metro Detroit Chevy dealers.
Chevy drives the Motor City. Visit ChevyDetroit.com.
What do you give the person who has everything? Imagine giving a wine bottle engraved with their name and special occasion on it. Now your gift of wine becomes a special keepsake, perfect for retirement parties, a 50th birthday, or for Christmas. Let Engraving Connection of Plymouth make your gift of wine extra special. Engrave it. Go to EngravingConnectionStore.com and click on the WHAM link or call 734-459-3180. Visit them at 1205 South Main Street in Plymouth. Engraving Connection, it's worth the trip.
In this economic environment, financial scams come in all shapes and sizes, and unfortunately, any Michigan investor can become a victim. This is Kevin Clinton, Commissioner of the Office of Financial and Insurance Regulation. Our agency can protect you from financial scammers. Before you invest any of your money, call us at 877-999-6442, and we'll run a check on any broker, advisor, or investment product.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. Sit right there. I got to tell you something. I bet you know someone with type 2 diabetes. Guaranteed. You know why? Because one out of every three little kids is going to develop diabetes in their lifetime. That is going to lead to heart problems, strokes, and even blindness. I'm John Sally, and I'm telling you, it ain't got to be that way. Now, you can up your defenses by eating more fruits and vegetables, having more vegetarian and vegan meals. These steps can be the power plays to protect you and your family against the risk of diabetes. Learn more. Go to blockdiabetes.org.
My name is Jamali Rashears, and this is how I live United. Education has been so important in my life, but lots of kids in my community don't have the same opportunities. I'm an advocate and fundraiser for my local United Way. I help promote academic achievement and give kids a reason to stay in school. We also put together events to raise funds and bring our message to the kids that need to hear it most. My name is Jamali Rashears. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back to The Drift. Glad to have you with us this morning. Before we get any farther into our conversation with County Commissioner Dan Smith, let's take care of my sponsor this half hour, Brighton Ford. If you are looking for a new Ford or some service on your existing Ford or other make, Brighton Ford is a place to go. I have bought three cars now from Brighton Ford and been happy with all of them and with the deal that I got on them. And I do most of my service work there as well. You can get a free tire rotation with a coupon out of the current. And they have the 1995 oil change and a four-wheel alignment for only $49.95, which is pretty cheap compared to other places. So definitely the pricing is right. And what I do like about service at Brighton Ford, when you get your oil change, they give you a list of things that you can keep an eye on, because they won't try to force you to do any of the extra work, but they do let you know what needs to be done, and it's a good thing to have when you're getting your car fixed like that. So you can call Brighton Ford, 1-800-519-4155, and ask for Scott Spittler. Tell him Gary from The Drift told you to call him, and he'll put you in touch with a service advisor or a salesman. And on the used car lot, they have just about every make and model you can imagine. It's a good big-size dealership, so certainly call Scott at 1-800-519-4155. Okay, so we're back with County Commissioner Dan Smith, 2nd District, Washtenaw right. County. We were talking before the congressman called. Thank you again, Congressman Walbert, for calling in and helping us understand why we didn't get the balanced budget amendment. Hopefully they'll try it again. So Dan, you've been almost a year now our county commissioner.
Yeah, we've got sworn into office at the beginning of January, and it's been a very busy year.
And budget news?
Well, we just passed a two-year budget, on Wednesday evening, 11:13 in the evening, we passed a 2012-2013 budget. We do a two-year budget cycle at the county. Technically, it's only a one-year budget. We reaffirm the 2013 budget next year because state law requires that we do a budget annually, but we do the extensive process only every 2 years, and it is a very extensive process. We've been working on this budget pretty much since the day I took office.
Now, should we double dip recession and values of property go lower, would you have to reevaluate that budget and do more cuts? I know you guys did a lot of hard cuts. You want to talk about those?
We started out the beginning of the year when I was in office with a projected $20 million shortfall. And so we've been working throughout the entire year on ways to plug that huge gap. And we got a lot of help from county employees. They are now paying for nearly 20% of their health care, which was a huge change for the organization. We have consolidated some county departments. So we had three different county departments that we merged together. We have gotten out of businesses that aren't the county's forte. Head Start's a very big example there and a fairly controversial move. We have been looking at the entire year, discussing what our mandates are and the serviceability level of those mandates. And that's a way of looking at the things that the state requires that the county government perform and saying, all right, what exactly do they require of us? And to what level do we provide the service? And at a very basic level, it's how many hours we're open, for example, in the week. One of the things that we were kicking around was maybe we should only be open for business Monday through Thursday. That's a serviceability level. And so we had those types of discussions. In the end, we decided that that wasn't the way to provide the best service to the residents of Washtenaw County by only being open for business Monday through Thursday. And we attacked the serviceability at different areas. But that's what we mean by serviceability levels. People can't buy and sell property if the Register of Deeds is open only one day a month. That's right. Very difficult to conduct business. Would that meet the bare minimum definition of law? Perhaps, but it really doesn't provide the level of service that we want to provide to the residents of Washtenaw County and really impedes business.
Right. I wish you guys were open on Saturday. Like our township should be open on Saturday, but we can't get people in there.
That again goes to the serviceability level. The question becomes, where do we have the money to pay for that type of thing?
Well, maybe you should close down during the week for a couple of days and open on Saturday. Well, that way we can get in there and see.
Those are things we've kicked around, those ideas, and you know this is a slow process to work through these things and difficult discussion. We're a board of 11 people, so there's a lot of different ideas and different thoughts on how these things work. There's also a number of elected officials that we have to work with as well to make a Saturday type of thing work.
Right. And let's go back to that 20% that the employees are now paying, and I would applaud them for agreeing to that. Now, you had to deal with the unions. Was that a difficult process, or did they understand the situation?
I wasn't intimately involved in the negotiations. There's HR staff and some of the administrative staff and our legal staff that was there at the bargaining table doing the face-to-face meetings. I was at some earlier town hall meetings, some of the things in the spring leading up to the formal negotiations. I also, you know, was kept apprised of things as they developed throughout the summer and into the fall of how things were developing. And we approved some contracts in September, I believe, to get things going, and then approved some throughout other additional ones throughout the fall. I think there's still a couple outstanding. The employees really came along and agreed to some pretty significant concessions from their point of view with the expectation of saving jobs. And we did. We have no forced layoffs in this budget. There are reductions in staff. Those are largely through attrition. Those are through getting rid of departments that no longer belong to the county, but those operations such as Head Start continue to function. It'll just be somebody else providing that service rather than the county.
Right.
So there are reductions, but no forced layoffs, and that we didn't go and hand out pink slips to anybody.
Well, that's awesome. And again, I applaud the employees and the union for stepping up and helping. They may not have liked it, but at least they realized it had to be done.
And these changes were made before the state law was signed as well. So these right. unions agreed to this. We recently decided to go with the 80-20 rule. On our meeting on Wednesday night, we decided to do that. But some of these contracts were in place before that was the state law.
All right. So tell me a little more about rolling the three agencies into one. What did you do there?
Well, there were three agencies with lots of different acronyms, and I won't go into the details. They were centered around economic development and some of the human service things. And so we had three different departments, and we brought those all together under Mary Jo Callen, and that all takes effect the beginning of the year. It was a tough struggle through the summer. We had lots of different meetings on it and lots of different input from other commissioners as to whether this was a good thing or a bad thing. And in the end, we decided to put these three departments together. It was a way to, there were some overlaps on some different things, and we decided let's get rid of as much overlap as we possibly can. And so we did that here. It was a struggle, though. The county's not used to combining departments, and so it was quite rough to do that. It's not the mode that the county operates in of combining different departments together. And where I at the office, I see this type of thing happening on a regular basis. We merge different groups together, split them apart, recombine them, but not something the county is very comfortable with doing. So it was definitely a learning experience that for administration, the staff, and the commissioners, and we got through it.
Yeah, and let's face it, I mean, at the county level, it is a bastion of bureaucracy.
I'm not quite sure I'd say a bastion of bureaucracy, Gary. I've been around. I spent the first most of the winter, January, February, and March, visiting all these bureaucracies, to use your word. And they really are a lot of very needed services that when you need the particular service, you're glad it's there. But most people in their day-to-day life don't need that service, back to the invisible government that we were talking about earlier.
Right.
So, yes, there are a lot of different departments doing a lot of different things, but they are needed services.
Okay, great. Well, it's that time break again. We'll be back on the other side. Thanks again for tuning in. 734-822-1600 if you want to call in and talk to Dan Smith, County Commissioner.
On the go, and you need to know, you turn to Wham Talk 1600. State and local news every half hour during Bill Bennett's Morning in America, with midday updates every hour from 9 to 3. From 3 to 6:30, we kick it up again with state and local news every half hour. 4 to 6, we're on the edge with Theron. Detroit to Grand Rapids, Houghton to Toledo. It's here on Wham Talk 1600, with our main focus on the news that affects you in Southeast Michigan. Here on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Liz White. Campus police pepper sprayed seated protesters at the University of California, Davis. The video went viral, and now some want the chancellor out.
We will look very carefully at the existing policies and ask the question of whether those policies need to change.
Chancellor Linda Kekteyi says she has no plans to resign. The Libyan government will try Muammar Gaddafi's son, Saif al-Islam, at home. The International Criminal Court had wanted him to face charges at The Hague. Carl Edwards leads Tony Stewart going into the NASCAR final. That's later today.
Tony Stewart heads to Homestead knowing he can overtake Edwards points-wise, but
3 points isn't much, so anything can happen. We saw that last year with Denny Hamlin, so we're close enough to keep him honest right now.
If Stewart wins the Cup, he'll be the first owner driver to win since 1992.
Fox Radio's Marge Tashina. The race starts at 3 p.m. Eastern in Homestead, Florida. Fox News. We report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Brides Project has a mission to provide brides with a socially conscious, budget, and eco-friendly option for purchasing a bridal gown, and use these proceeds at the Cancer Support Community of Greater Ann Arbor for people touched by cancer. Are you the bride who loves to give back? After your big day, you can have your wedding celebration give back and enrich the lives of others by donating your bridal gown to the Brides Project. The Brides Project accepts gown donations from all over the U.S., then resells your donated gown to another happy bride, with proceeds from the sale benefiting the Cancer Support Community of Greater Ann Arbor. If you are a bride that wants to donate your gown or just volunteer, visit the website at www.thebridesproject.org. The Dawn Farm Education Series is a free workshop series developed to provide practical, current information about addiction recovery, family recovery, and to help reduce the barriers that prevent chemically dependent people and their family members from getting help and getting well. Al-Anon, a panel discussion, will be presented on Tuesday, November 29th from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. by a panel of Al-Anon members. All Dawn Farm programs are held at St. Joseph Mercy Hospital Education Center Auditorium, located at 5305 Elliott Drive in Ypsilanti. Admission is free. No registration is required. For more information on this event and many others held by Dawn Farm, please contact Dawn Farm at 734-485-8725 or visit the website at www.dawnfarm.org.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM. 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
Amen. Amen.
Join us every Sunday morning for Wham's Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m., it's the Lutheran Hour, followed by the Christian Science Sentinel at 9:30. At 10 o'clock, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ for their live weekly service. Finally, we visit the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor from 11 to noon. Start your week off right with Wham Talk 1600.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back to The Drift. We have County Commissioner Dan Smith, 2nd District, here in the studio with us this morning. So we're talking county business. But before we get back to that, let me take care of my sponsor this half hour, Viper Space Incorporated. Whether you're looking for help with your home or office computer, Viper Space is your go-to connection. Viper Space is big enough to handle your corporate IT needs and small enough to service your home office or gaming computer. Viper Space has some unbelievable deals on new equipment, demos, and powerful refurbed machines. Call Viper Space at 734-449-2683 or go to viperspace.com. Adam Ungelbach is the owner of Viper Space, a real good guy and real computer literate when it comes to gaming systems and IT networking. So give Adam a call again, 734-449-2683. And I'd like to thank him for sponsoring the show. Dan Smith, County Commissioner. We were talking about some of the budget cuts you guys did, and they were pretty brutal, weren't they?
Yeah, a couple of them were especially tough to deal with. We've ran a Head Start program in Washtenaw County for nearly 40 years, the county has run it, and providing a lot of good services to the needy children, getting them off to a good start so that they can get into school and excel there. And it just was one of those things that we were talking about mandates a few minutes ago. We're the only county in the state of Michigan that runs a Head Start program. There's a very large educational component to Head Start. There's other components as well as social aspects and so on and so forth. But a big chunk of it is clearly educational. And the county's forte is not education. And looking at our mandates, looking at what things we needed to do, we decided that the nearly over $900,000 of current cash flow, and that's the way I phrase it, it's $900,000 of current cash flow, what it costs us from this year's budget in terms of cash. And it's you can account for it a bunch of different ways, but right now, $900,000 of current cash flow, we just decided it was one of those things that wasn't our forte, and we were going to turn that program back to the federal government and let them find another provider here in Washtenaw County. The program is still going to exist. This is a federal program that the county runs and has been running. So Head Start is not going away in Washtenaw County. It's just it won't be run by Washtenaw County government. It will be run by some other entity in Washtenaw County, and the federal government is the one that takes care of that process.
Right. So back to the nanny state.
Back to the nanny. This program runs throughout the country, throughout communities, throughout Michigan, and Washtenaw County is one of many, many communities
I'm
that have Head Start.
You know I had to throw that in there. So what was the other big cut that you were talking about?
Another big cut that that got a lot of attention was the Humane Society funding. And our budget cuts them from $500,000 a year, which is their 2011 allotment, to $250,000 a year for 2012. The reason this even exists in the first place is because the county has an animal control mandate under the law. And trying to understand exactly what that mandate is a little bit difficult. There's a lot of different laws and some court cases that have interpreted those laws and certain expectations that have been developed over the years, especially here in Ann Arbor and Washtenaw County. And so trying to come to grips with all of that has been a very, very difficult process. The short version of it is our mandate is dogs, not cats, not wildlife. And the mandate isn't very nice, not very pretty, and some people, it's cruel, frankly, is what our mandate is under the law. And so we've been very fortunate over the years to be able to exceed that mandate. Well, we don't have the funds to exceed that mandate like we used to in the past, and so we're trying to figure out exactly what our mandate is and how much it costs us to provide that. We don't have the final answer on that. We can amend our budget anytime we want to, and many commissioners, including myself, are hoping that we're going to be able to continue this partnership with the Humane Society that we've had for a number of years that's been beneficial to everybody, and be able to continue working with them so that we can fulfill our animal control mandate that we have to do under the law, and they're able to go beyond the base mandate that we have to have and perform all the good things that they're able to do.
Right, right. And I guess it's going to be up to the private sector to help out with the Humane Society, as we all should.
Yeah, we're looking at a number of options. This is still very new to us in the past 6 or 8 weeks, and trying to sort out exactly what all this means, and we're looking at potentially increasing some fees for dog licenses, adding some fines for stray dogs, looking to other communities that have stricter ordinances than what the state law is to help out with the enforcement of those ordinances. So lots of different ideas that are being explored, but it takes time to work through all of those. And in the meantime, we have a contract that's ending on December 31st, and we have to provide the services come January 1st for stray dogs and so on and so forth.
Right. And let's remind our listeners, this is a call-in show, 734-822-1600, Wham Talk Radio. You can call in, or you can email me, gary@thedailydrift.com, and I can get your comments read on the air if that's what you'd prefer to do. If you want to talk to your county commissioner, now is the time, so give us a holler. Let me remind the listeners as well that these cuts were made by the entire board, the county commissioners, all 11 of you, and it was in full agreement from all 11?
Yeah, the final budget was voted on 10-0. There were a couple of commissioners that abstained from specific line items. But yes, on a board of 11, 8 Democrats, 3 Republicans, the Democrat colleagues led the way on many of these cuts, making them happen. They weren't any more pleased about it than anybody else on the board is, but they recognized the necessity of making these cuts. When you're facing a $20 million shortfall, you have to make these things. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, you can't blame the GOP on this one.
Right, right. It was a 10-0 vote. There was one commissioner absent Wednesday night, but the final budget passed 10-0. And so that means 7 Democrats voted for it, 3 Republicans voted for it. And we're not out of the woods yet. We've got an $11.6 million shortfall projected for 2014 at the beginning of our next two-year budget cycle. And that's still a few years out yet. And this budget, once we got our equalization values in April, we were able to cut nearly $2.5-3 million from that. So we ended up with a $17.5 million shortfall from April on through because the property tax values didn't drop as much as we anticipated.
All right. So you've got more cuts coming. That's just the way it is.
We've got more changes coming. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen with property values. That's a big wild card out there. We don't know what's going to happen with state shared revenue. We don't know what's going to happen with personal property taxes. So all these things factor in, and looking down the road, we'll be starting the next budget cycle in about 15 months, January of 2013. We'll be starting the next budget cycle and go through for the
two. It's almost as bad as campaigning. I mean, you never stop. I mean, when it comes to budget, honestly, I mean, you have to do that. You just got to keep plugging away at it on a monthly basis.
Yeah, and this is with two-year budget cycles. Imagine if we did this whole process every single year. It literally would be never stop. So yeah. I'm glad we have a two-year budget cycle that allows us to focus on some other things next year. And the budget's still our number one priority, and we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that throughout the entire year.
Well, something you talk to me about on the break there, Act 119 of 2011, just passed by the state this year. Explain that a little bit to me.
That's a brand new law that allows county property tax dollars to be spent on roads. And most people think that their tax dollars go towards roads. Well, maybe some of their township tax dollars may go towards roads, but roads are primarily funded through vehicle registration and the gasoline tax. So even though we have a county road commission, there are no county tax dollars that go to the county road commission. It wasn't allowed under previous law. It was illegal, actually, for us to spend county property tax dollars on roads. This new law that was just passed this summer allows the Board of Commissioners, the law actually says a budget surplus, and I'm sure there'll be some rulings or legal opinions on exactly what a budget surplus is, but it allows us to transfer a budget surplus to the County Road Commission. So depending on how you interpret a budget surplus, the County Board of Commissioners can now allocate funds towards roads, amongst all the many other things that we can allocate funds towards.
Yeah, the key word being surplus. And if you're talking $11 million in the hole already for 2014, we're not going to be seeing a whole lot of money.
Not a lot of surplus in the county budget, no.
Yeah, until the property values turn around, and there's ways that they should be doing, frankly. I think I've talked about it on the show. We'll do that another time. But, we've got to find a way to get property values back up. I mean, it's just crazy.
And there's a lot of distressed property values. I know my house that I own in Whitmore Lake, it is now worth significantly less than when I bought it 11 years ago.
Okay. Well, I would say realistically, so is mine, though our township increased mine by 17%. So, you know, in some cases, property values are going up. Just happens to be my house, unfortunately. So, all right. Well, that's interesting, and I'm glad you guys made those hard decisions, and it needed to be done. And I feel bad for people who really do rely on services, because I think there is more of those cuts coming. You know.
Yeah, we haven't even begun discussing what we're going to do for this next budget cycle. We just passed our budget on Wednesday night, and so we'll begin to look at that, but that will really begin in earnest at the end of 2012, beginning of 2013, when we start the next budget cycle. But there's more to come. One of the things that several commissioners, I think, are hoping to do is use some of the forthcoming retirements to restructure the county a little bit.
Right, right. Well, we're going to jump into another break here, and we'll be back on the other side. 734-822-1600. Call in and talk to your county commissioner.
The Salvation Army and Wham! Talk 1600 are pleased to present the 5th Annual 1600 Toys for 1600 Girls and Boys Christmas Toy Drive. We need your help to make sure every needy child in Washtenaw County has a happy holiday. Toys are needed for young teens, too. Games, CDs, DVDs, sports equipment, jewelry, and makeup. You can donate a new unwrapped toy at Wham! Talk 1600 during business hours. Our address is 4230 Packard Road in Ann Arbor. Or bring your toy to one of our sponsor locations. In Ann Arbor, Dixboro General Store, USA Hockey, Two Men in a Truck, George Meyer & Company, Kmart, Imber Tax Advisory Group, Rider's Hobby, Treetown Toys, Hogback Office Center, Cozy Home Solutions, Treasure Mart, in Ypsilanti, Michigan Firehouse Museum, Kmart, Michigan Spine and Orthopedic, Dr. Michael Singleton, DDS Saline, T. Herlinger Physical Therapy Dexter. Together, we can collect 1,600 toys for 1,600 girls and boys.
Hello, Wham! Listeners. I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Every Sunday at 5 p.m., we explore the world of art and antiques, commercially, academically, and from the perspective of the collector. Speaking of Art features renowned guests as our guides as we visit great museums, galleries, theaters, and historic sites. We'll examine paintings, prints, sculpture, and drawings. You'll hear from the artists and their patrons, and you'll gain a special insight into both contemporary and historical periods. We'll travel through monuments of world architecture and experience the evolution of design. Achievements in film, music, and stage will also grace our forum. Speaking of Art is one of the best conversations of your week. So, nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Sunday at 5 on WHAM. Speaking of Art, it's about civilization, yours.
Settle in for a great conversation every Sunday at 5 p.m. Speaking of Art with Ed Hoffman, exclusively on WHAM Talk 1600.
It's hard to talk to your kids about the S word because they're too young to think about bedroom activities. So you try to limit their exposure to adult behavior, but there's birds and bees stuff everywhere.
We know that S word makes you uncomfortable, but you've got to talk to us about sex. You don't have to be explicit. Just tell us how you feel. Tell us you want us to wait to do that stuff. For help starting the conversation, visit forparents.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
This is the Clark Cast with Matt Clark.
So in Occupy St. Louis, they're giving instructions to the protesters on how to get arrested. By the way, the Tea Party, this is often compared to the Tea Party. Well, this is the left's version of the Tea Party. How often does the Tea Party strategize on how they're going to get arrested? I've never heard any of them even suggest, let alone flat out say, we're going to talk about how we're going to get arrested.
The Clark Cast, every Sunday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Wham! It's time for This American Voice with Aaron, brought to you by Flying Dutchman Management.
Now here's Theron.
Obama's trying to strong-arm his American Jobs Act through Congress. He says that if anyone stands against it, they stand against the American worker. This is pure propaganda, and it's aimed at the Republican Party. It's politics at a minimum, dangerous lies at a maximum. Obama's Job Act will do one thing and one thing only. It will redistribute our tax dollars to government-approved unions. Obama and his crew of useful idiots will pick winners and losers. Better join a union if you want a chance at that brass ring of the American Jobs Act. Eric Cantor got it right when he said that Obama's proposed bill is dead on arrival in the House of Representatives. John Boehner gets it entirely wrong when he says we can work with Obama on common ground. What common ground? Jobs are never created by government, never created by legislation. Government largesse is created by government. Bureaucracies are created that take private sector tax dollars to support them. If we want to truly create jobs in America, we need to get government out of the equation. Total reform on tax policy. That's business-friendly and not government-friendly. That'll create real jobs, not redistribute wealth.
Ann Arbor's Hogback Office Center off of U.S. 23 and Washtenaw Avenue offers a beautiful rolling 5-acre country atmosphere. Your clients will be more than impressed. The professional office suites at the Hogback Office Center range from 960 to 5,000 square feet. They're very competitively priced, and your clients will appreciate free parking. Call Susan Watrous at 734-971-4000 for more information, or visit FlyingDutchmanMGT.com.
This is the Clark Cast with Matt Clark.
Now he's coming out and saying, we've been a little bit lazy as a country. Your apologizer-in-chief, the same guy who went all the way around the world. He would go and say, I'm sorry. The same guy who apologizes for the United States of America, his own country, that his wife, up until recently, has never been proud of, is now going across saying that you are soft. Is now going on and saying you are lazy.
The Clark Cast, every Sunday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Wham! You're Catching the Drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. Send the Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
District 2 is. Nobody knows what District 2 is.
So welcome back to the Drift. And our special guest today is Dan Smith, County Commissioner. And as we were just talking, Dan, tell us exactly what locations are District 2.
District 2 is the northeast portion of Washtenaw County. It includes almost all of Superior Township, all of Salem Township, all of Northfield Township, half of Webster Township, all of Ann Arbor Township outside of the expressways, and a little piece of Scio Township. So that's six municipalities.
Yeah, that's a big area.
It's a big district all the way from Clark Road in Ypsilanti, staying outside of the expressways, all the way over to Zeebe Road.
Right. Now, our county commissioners make very little. They really do.
Salary is $15,500 a year.
And I know, personally, that you do put in probably 40-plus hours a week?
That's in addition to my real job, which pays the bills, which I got to get my good 50, 60 hours in at the office. It just doesn't feel right.
I see you just about every function I go to. You're there. And I see you're nonstop campaigning. You have no choice when you're on a 2-year cycle. It's almost a crime that you have to do that every 2 years in order to get reelected.
I do make the rounds. I try and drop in on all the township board meetings on a regular basis, just so I can keep up what's going on in the different municipalities, what's going on in Superior Township and Salem Township and Webster Township, and that's nice so that I can be there first person, hear things, so I can talk with their elected officials, see what the concerns are from Webster Township and Ann Arbor Township. And some of these things have a direct impact at the county of the sheriff deputies, the contract deputies that are used in Superior Township and Webster Township and Salem Township, Scio Township, Ann Arbor Township, Northfield Township. We have our own police department, as you know, but much of the other rest of the county, in the rest of the second district, at least, relies on the contract deputies to the sheriff department. So it's important to hear what these township boards have to say about these different issues as they impact the county. And I need to know these officials. People ask all kinds of questions when I'm out talking to them at different things, and they want to know what's going on. So it's nice to be able to say, well, talk to supervisor so-and-so about that, or talk to treasurer so-and-so, or I just ran into trustee so-and-so, and they said this and that about whatever the particular question is.
Yeah, I mean, it's six steps above being the township trustee, because now you've got six to worry about, you know. It's amazing. And speaking of Northfield, we do have a big police department and a very good police department. We love our police department up there. We approved the last millage.
We approved two millages last year for them, yes. Yes, we did. And people have been consistent up in Northfield Township about approving the millages for the police department. And they we've decided in Northfield Township we want that very local, hands-on service from having our own police department there. The sheriff department does an excellent job. I've talked to the different people in the communities, just talking to somebody yesterday in Superior Township, and they were very, very pleased with the sheriff department. And there's not a single right answer whether the sheriff department's the right answer, whether the local township police department is the right answer. It's what the communities want, and different communities want different things. And the sheriff says, if the community wants me to provide contract deputies, here's what I provide through contract deputies. And some communities like Northfield Township want their own police department. Neither one's right, neither one's wrong. They're both acceptable solutions.
Right. Has there been any more talk about regional police departments? I mean, the overlapping between sheriff, state police, and some of our local police departments. I know Northfield has talked about doing services for other townships, much like the sheriff's contract with townships to do police services. Has there been any other talk coming down the pipe about any regionalization?
You always hear these different things. I know from our sheriff, though, he's made it pretty clear. Sheriff Clayton has said, if the community wants me, I'm there to provide the service. If they don't want me, like Northfield Township wants to have its own police department, he's completely fine with that, too. What's going on from the state? Well, I'm sure you know about the Ypsilanti State Police Post closing down, and they've spread that out. I know some of the deputies are now stationed in Salem Township. That's not really a station there. That's a detachment that they have, mostly parking and access to a computer when they need it. They're not really taking calls from the public out of that detachment in Salem Township. As far as what else might be going on, I really haven't heard anything in particular. I know the communities that use the sheriff department are very happy with it. I know Northfield's very happy with the police department.
Yeah, we are. We do love our police department. I think that's why we overwhelmingly support those millages. And I think Green Oak did the same in Livingston County there. They just passed theirs. So
and the other communities throughout the county that have their own police departments are very happy with them. Pittsfield has their own police department. Ann Arbor, of course, has their own police department. Saline. So those communities also like their own police department. But like I said, the communities that have to use the contract deputies for the sheriff really enjoy the service they get from the sheriff as well. Superior Township, Ann Arbor Township, they're very, very happy with the arrangement they have with Sheriff Clayton, as well as many of the other communities that have the contract deputies.
Right. So let me remind our listeners, you have County Commissioner Dan Smith, District 2, here on the studio with me, 734-822-1600. Now's your time to get a call and ask the commissioner a question if you have something on your mind. Or you can email me, gary@thedailydrift.com. And send us some text if you're too afraid to call in or don't feel like calling in, too lazy to call in. But would love to have your phone calls one way or the other. Dan Smith will be sending an article to us on a monthly basis starting in December or maybe January. We'll see. I won't hold you to December at this point. But
it's a busy time of year, Gary.
Yeah. The current online, C-O-U-R-A-N-T online, where you get the free monthly newspaper, if you don't get it mailed directly to you or can't pick it up at the locations we drop it off to, you can get it courantonline.com. That's currentonline.com. And Dan, why don't you give us some information on how people can contact you?
Sure. You can email me at smithd@ewashtenaw, that's the letter E followed by washtenaw.org, or you can give me a call, 734-449-2985. You're also welcome to come to our Board of Commissioners meetings. They're on the first and third Wednesday evening downtown at 220 Main Street, Ann Arbor, Michigan. So at the county building downtown, there are public meetings. We start at 6:30 in the evening with the Ways and Means Committee meeting. I'm the vice chair of that. That's the committee of the whole. And then we follow that immediately by our board meeting. We also have working sessions on typically the first and third Thursday. It's the day after our board meetings. So it's not necessarily the first and third Thursday, but usually it is.
And they're not all boring and drudgery, are they?
Some of them have been fairly interesting lately. Our working session the other night was very interesting. There's a lot of data from the Washtenaw County Health Department about a health study that was recently done, a health survey here throughout the county, and how many people get their recommended 30 minutes of exercise each day, and the number of servings of fresh fruits and vegetables and so on. And I know I'm lacking there. I don't get my 30 minutes of exercise each day, although I tend to make it up on the weekends. I do a lot of walking on Saturday and Sunday.
Right. Knocking on doors.
Knocking on doors. Saying hi to the constituents of the second district.
I will say that about you. You do return phone calls. You are readily available for when people call you. And you are out knocking on doors every weekend. And it's pretty amazing that you do that. So we want to thank you for that as well. And what would you say for people to get more involved or more informed? Can you see the county online? Are the meetings online as well?
They are streamed online. I don't have the website address right here in front of me, but ewashtenaw.org, the website, and the board meetings are indeed streamed online. We're all on TV. If you live in Ann Arbor, it's on the local cable network, and I know people have watched over the internet. One of our commissioners was out of town on business, overseas on business, and was able to watch the board meeting from the hotel room halfway around the world.
And unfortunately couldn't participate.
Couldn't participate, but at least was able to watch what was going on.
Well, thanks so much, Dan, for coming in. We'll have to have you on again. And
Nice talking with you, Gary.
And I'll remind people to go to currentonline.com, CourantOnline.com. And if you want to advertise in The Current, 734-323-0777. Talk to Sam Iaquinto. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.